Topic 2.11 is to describe DNA replication, including the role of DNA polymerase, and explain how Maselson and Stahl's classic experiment provided new data that supported the accepted theory of replication of DNA and refuted competing theories. So what we know is that when cells divide, the daughter cell has to receive an exact copy of the genetic material from the parent. And this means DNA has to be replicated. Now, when this happens, DNA helicase unzips and unwinds the two strands, and enzymes break the hydrogen bonds holding the base pairs together. So this separates the complementary strands into two. DNA helicase completes the splitting of the strand, and free nucleotides that are sitting in the nucleus are activated and attracted to their complementary bases. In this case, each chain acts as a template. Once the free nucleotides are in place, they are joined together by DNA polymerase. DNA polymerase is the enzyme you need to know about. It joins the new nucleotides to each other, forming strong covalent bonds. This is the phosphodiester bond. It's a condensation reaction, and this forms the new sugar phosphate backbone. The result of this is that there are now two DNA molecules, each with one newly synthesized strand of DNA and one original old strand. And then the DNA is wound up again. Now, before we understood this, there were two hypotheses. The first was the conservative hypothesis, that the complete parent DNA molecule acted as a template for the new daughter molecule, which was then wholly assembled from new nucleotides, leaving the parent molecule unchanged. The other one was the semi-conservative hypothesis, stating that the parent DNA molecule separates into two component strands, each of which acts as a template for the formation of a new complementary strand. So the two daughter molecules therefore contain half parent DNA and half new DNA. So the experiment carried out by Maselson and Stahl in 1958, they grew bacteria, E. coli, in different isotopes of nitrogen. First, they exposed the bacteria to heavy nitrogen, nitrogen 15, for several generations before being grown in a lighter nitrogen 14 environment. And it was possible to distinguish between the different DNA densities using centrifuging. They knew that all the bases in DNA contained nitrogen, and that the bacteria would incorporate nitrogen from their growing medium into any new DNA that was being made. So, if the conservative mechanism was correct, and you'd end up with one old and one new strand, then at the end of the first generation, you'd expect to see one light band, nitrogen 14, and one heavy band, nitrogen 15. At the end of the second generation, you'd expect to see a thick light band of nitrogen 14 and a thin band of nitrogen 15. If semi-conservative replication was the mechanism, then you would expect to see at the end of the first generation a mixed band of both nitrogen 14 and 15. And at the end of the second generation, you'd expect to see one light band of just nitrogen 14 and one mixed of nitrogen 14 and nitrogen 15. Sure enough, what they saw, only one band at the end of the first generation and two equal bands in the second generation. So this demonstrated that semi-conservative replication was the mechanism by which DNA copied itself. Do not confuse DNA replication for DNA transcription. If you do this, then the biology teacher of your choice will hunt you down and put you in a centrifuge.